Hey everyone, it's Josh here back with you for the latest episode of the Kerr Report. Bit of housekeeping before we go on. Because this will be, I'm recording this on Tuesday, but it's going to be released Wednesday, and I've decided that that's going to be the new release day. Kind of fueled by both a spur in the moment thing of the fact that Monday I've touch wood, finished my curriculum and work and stuff for sixth form, so I've got a bit more time on my hands. I mean, I probably would have done this anyway. And then the fact that I said today, Tuesday, yeah, I'll do a podcast, release it Wednesday. And also the fact that I thought, kind of need to get ourselves into a regular publishing schedule. So I decided on Wednesday. Wednesday is known as Hump Day. You may or may not know that. When we're all normally at work, it's the day when it's just the weekend. The week you're in the middle of the week, so the weekend is just too far away. You're not close to it at all. Like on Monday, you can live with the fact that the weekend's just gone, and then Thursday and Friday, the weekend's coming. Wednesday, stuck in the middle, nowhere to go. And also, a few of the other podcasts I listen to are on days that are not Wednesday. Boxer Neutrals, which if you're, because I listen to motorsport podcasts, so if you do like motorsport, Boxer Neutrals, which used to be associated with the ABC in Australia, that's presented by Michael Laminato, and a bloke called Rob, but I can't remember his surname, which is very good. And I do know this guy's name, Jawar Jacoob. I hope I've pronounced his name right. My good buddy in Australia, his Hit the Apex podcast every Thursday, which is also check out, although I don't know if he's doing it at the moment because we were chatting last week and he might go down with the frequency of his new episodes, because of course there's no Formula One on, and his is mainly a motorsport, so there's no sport on, and that's what the Kerr Report was designed to be set up as. And I experimented in it in the early episodes, which are quite frankly rubbish when I listen to them back. But people said no, keep them just in case people want to listen to them. I don't want them to listen to the early ones, but anyway, they're still on. Go and listen to them. Have a chuckle. But yeah, normally we'd be talking about Formula One, especially because if you don't know, I write about Formula One for the raw.com.au, Australia's biggest sporting debate. There you go, there's the promo. Been doing that over a year. Did some cricket on there as well, but mainly it's Formula One. We would have been well into the Formula One season by now. April the 1st. When this podcast goes out, April Fool's Day. This podcast is not an April Fool's. Do not worry. Although, quite frankly, the world is that crazy at the moment. We don't need an April Fool's Day. A few stuff. I might have retweeted a few stuff. Check out my Twitter to see all the random stuff I tweet out at Joshua_T_Kerr. When I'm not on here. Yeah. So, but anyway, normally it's Formula One. We would have just had the first two races, Australia and Bahrain. Some people joke that Hamilton would be about 50 points in the lead by now, which is impossible. But you know, Mercedes, they're that dominant. They'll find a way. We would have been having the first race ever in Vietnam this weekend. And that's a street circuit. It was going to be a street circuit race in Hanoi. The track actually looked really good. There was a very long back straight, over a kilometre. But of course, you know, COVID-19 got in the way and has disrupted the Formula One season. The earliest Grand Prix that hasn't said anything at the moment is going to be the Canadian Grand Prix on the weekend of June 14th. Azerbaijan said that the race was Problem is, I can't remember if they say postponed or cancelled. I know Monaco's definitely off. We're not going to Monaco this year for the first time since 1954. Formula One is not going to be racing around the streets of Monaco. Now, some people are like, yeah, but it's a processional race. It's very boring. But it's 2 hours of watching some of the finest machinery in the world, the most technologically advanced, beautiful cars, racing cars in the world, going around the most picturesque landscape. And the Riviera, and the iconic, it's just an iconic track, so much history, celebrated 90 years last year. Oh, Monaco. I love Monaco. Not many other people seem to do. But then again, it depends whether you're a casual Formula One fan or a die-hard nut like me who gets up at stupid o'clock to watch and cover it. The Netherlands and Spain are postponed. China, I have no idea, but China, some good news out of there. It seems things are beginning to ease, some restrictions are beginning to ease. Because we're a few, about a month or so behind China in the UK. So, yeah, China's beginning slowly to get back to normal. But I'm not sure about the Grand Prix. Bahrain, who knows? Australia's probably a cancelled one because that's a street circuit as well. Vietnam, not quite sure. And Azerbaijan, I think it's more of postponed because they haven't put the street furniture, they haven't sorted out the street furniture yet. So, because of course you need to do that weeks in advance to get everything ready. Canadian Grand Prix, June the 14th, is the earliest one at the moment. We haven't heard anything from then. But anyway, that's rather a long-winded tangent to say that we'd normally be talking about Formula One. That's what the Kerr Report is designed to do, hence the name, reporting on stuff. We're all still in lockdown, and we're all going to be in this situation for a wee while to come. But stick with us every Wednesday. I'll be. It doesn't matter what day I'll record it on, but you'll get one on Wednesday. Not sure about the time. It'll be on sometime on Wednesday anyway. If you're in Australia, it'll be a different time for you than it will be here, obviously. That bit's going. I'm running out of steam on that one. Oh dear. Right, so that's our little bit of housekeeping and whatnot. So yeah, we'll see how things go. But at the moment, I'm doing this podcast mainly for me. Just give me something to do. I mean, I had this up already, and I did want to come back to it, and I've now got this opportunity where I've got some time on my hands where I can go back to it. And, keeping me occupied because of stuff around it, reading books to review on here, watching TV and films to review on here, listening to music and whatnot, and just a little bit of prep and planning that goes into this podcast. Not too much, because when I started doing it, it was crazy amounts of preparation in it. I mean, it's only like an hour or so, but that's too much. You want it to be a bit free flowing and all that. But I think we've got it. I think we've got it sorted now. So, yeah, it'd be nice if people listen, get the word around, please. That'd be nice. If I'm not badgering you with the links already, I send you the links, but the statistics aren't coming through. Do you know what they told me today? Actually, said 100% of your listeners are listening in Chile. I have no idea where that stat is coming from, but last time I checked, Bewdley wasn't in Chile. But there you go. Share around here every Wednesday. First thing, on today's thing is a bit of Star Wars chat. I mean, some of you might groan at that, but I've got into Star Wars over the past 2 months. On a not recommendation, that's the correct word, a recommendation from my mates, and I chat about it with my mate, who's quite into Star Wars. He's watch it, all the films, Clone Wars. I don't know about any of the other ones he's watched, but you know, like he likes Star Wars. Put it that way. Now I'm quite into it. Disney Plus. I might have talked about it on last week's podcast. Probably did. Disney Plus, of course, arriving in the UK a week ago. And that's got all the Star Wars back catalogue. So you've got all 10 films. So that's episodes 1 through 8. Rise of Skywalker we're still waiting on. And Rogue One in Solo. And then there's the Clone Wars animated series. And the Lego Star Wars. And I think they've got the documentary they did on how they made the prequel trilogy. And The Mandalorian, which is new, original series. They did 2 episodes last Tuesday, and they're publishing one episode every Friday. I was also told last week, talk about The Mandalorian. Don't need any spoiler alerts or whatever. So, if you haven't watched it, then sorry. You might need to skip through this bit. But the episode went out on Friday. I'm recording this on Tuesday. You know. I can't wait forever. Because by the time we get to next week, another chapter will have been released. But I don't know. It's good. But it's just a bit slow. Not much happened in Friday, the episode released Friday, chapter 3, called The Sin. They call him Mandy. I just hear Mandy. They're not very good with names in this. Nobody has a name. Unless you put the subtitles on, you don't know who anybody is. I mean, they've all got their helmets and armor on anyway. None of the Mandalorians show their faces. Yeah, it's a bit difficult to follow when you don't know the names. I mean, you can follow the plot, but when you're talking about it, like I'm talking about it now, I don't know any of the characters' names, and it's very difficult to explain on audio. When you know, of course, you haven't got any pictures to explain it and whatnot. But it just felt a bit slow, not much happened in the half hour, and it was a bit predictable, really. I don't know if it's because I've seen, like, stuff on social media about Baby Yoda when it was aired in America, and most of the rest of the world before it came to Europe. But I knew he was going to go back for the child, they call Baby Yoda, who's 50 years old. I mean, if I'm looking like that, 50 years old, if anybody's looking like that, 50 years old, I'm sure we'd all be praised. But that ain't gonna happen. We should all become Yodas. Looking very youthful for 50. But then you live to 900 and live in a swamp in the Dagobah system. In a tiny little house. I don't know what Yoda does. I mean, apart from Jedi training. Must have been pretty boring for Yoda. Like Luke Skywalker on his island in the Last Jedi. Mark Hamill tweeted the other week, Luke Skywalker, social distancing enthusiast. Because he's right, because he just was on that island. I think it's 6 years, because there's 20 years, I think, between Return of the Jedi and The Last Jedi. And The Force Awakens. And we find Luke on the island at the end of The Force Awakens. after he's. There are spoilers in this bit coming up, but it's been 5 years since The Force Awakens was released, 3 years since The Last Jedi was released. So yeah, that's what this podcast is going to be. I'm going to jump straight into stuff. If you do want to feedback to me on that, then go ahead. But anyway, back to Luke Skywalker on his island, where he isolated himself after his Jedi training of Ben Solo went a bit awry, and Kylo Ren, who's a right character. I mean, the dark side really goes downhill in those sequel films for me. Bit predictable as well. They seem to follow a formula where, like, when the Rise of Skywalker eventually comes out on Disney Plus and I watch it, I think there's going to be like some sort of resolution with the light side or whatever. It seems like the dark side cannot win. It's that classic happy ending. The only reason why the dark side won, in inverted commas, in the prequel trilogy is because it kind of had to, because A New Hope brought us with the Empire ruthlessly running the galaxy, blowing up Alderaan, Darth Vader, force choking people, whatever, Death Star. Blah. So that's the only reason why they won in the prequel trilogy. But of course, happy endings mean the light side kind of have to win, which is a bit of a shame. But yeah, that I watched The Last Jedi on Sunday. Oh my goodness, it's long, 2.5 hours. My goodness, 2.5 hours. And some bits of it are so unnecessary. The detours going on to that gambling planet to find out a bloke who could be a code breaker. So I can't even remember what. I think that because they were trying to. Because the Rebel base. The First Order found out about the Rebel base. I watched it on Sunday and I can't remember the whole thing. But it was pretty rubbish at times. I was sat there watching it. It took half the film to coax Luke Skywalker off the island, or so we thought, because he was still on the island, levitating above his rock while fighting Kylo Ren. Oh, dearie me. Yeah, it wasn't the best film to watch, and I was about an hour in. Oh, it's going. Is it worth carrying on? I just carried on so I could, get the t-shirt and say, I've watched The Last Jedi, give me The Rise of Skywalker, I'm ready to finish the Star Wars saga. But yeah, go to a gambling island, feel sorry for the. Well, they were like horses. And the children, and free the horses, and they run away to a field, and then the code breaker you hire ended up doing a deal with the First Order, and that doesn't go well. But don't worry, because everybody's going to be saved. And that bit after that has just gone clouded in my memory. All I know is, oh no, that's it. That's it. It was when Kylo Ren, for about 20 minutes, decided, I'm going to let my light side of me, because he's so conflicted and it's so annoying, I'm gonna let that rule me. He killed Grandmaster Snoke. 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 Somebody, anyway, and then we go to the base. Base was still destroyed. Yeah, that was the Last Jedi. The Force Awakens was slightly better. The new characters probably helped with it. Finn and Rail. FN2187. Hand in your blaster for inspection. Ugh. That female stormtrooper woman captain. I don't know the name of. I was because I was messaging my mate about the film afterwards. And he said the name of the captain. I was like, who's she? Who are they? What? They're not good with the names. And BB-8. What a guy. C-3PO still comes back, still the same anxious guy as ever. And Leia did a fine job. Nice to see Princess Leia back. Ooh, the old gang got back together as well. Oh, wasn't that nice? So, yeah, that's the Star Wars sequel trilogy that I'm going through. But I made a ranking before we went on air. It's recorded, but you know. So I've done a ranking, and I decided that Revenge of the Sith is obviously the best film of the Star Wars saga. Because it's when everything comes together. You've sat through two films full of irrelevance, and you get to episode three. All the good stuff happens. Emperor Palpatine comes out as Darth Sidious. Anakin pledges his allegiance to the dark side, becomes Darth Vader, and the duel on Mustafar is one of the best 8 minutes of any film ever. Oh, there we go. That's that. Revenge of the Sith is the best Star Wars film of all time, and it's got a great soundtrack as well. John Williams is a great composer. The soundtrack's so epic. The soundtrack really makes the film. And even just listening to the soundtrack itself, so dramatic, so epic, brilliant. John Williams, great at film scores anyway. You could name a film, an iconic film of the past 40 years or so, and either he's written the score or Hans Zimmer has. So yeah, brilliant. Episode 3, hands down the best one. Then I've gone with Revenge of the Sith, because it's kind of a theme, you know, the last film of a trilogy is where everything comes together, and then a bit of action happens, and then the Empire Strikes Back, and I've slotted. I was unsure, but I've slotted The Force Awakens fourth, because there is a good deal of stuff that actually happens, and the new storyline's unraveling, and you've got 20 years to catch up on. Episode four is fifth. Well, it's quite difficult. Usually with this one, the rankings actually just go that the further on you get in the trilogy, the better the film gets, which seems to be the common theme in my eyes. The Last Jedi goes sixth because it was awful, but it was not as bad as Attack of the Clones and The Phantom Menace. The Phantom Menace, pod racing, that's it. Darth Maul just appears in one film. I mean, I know he had a bit of a role, but he didn't have many lines, did he? Of course, Palpatine talking to him makes you go, bit fishy. When I watched it the first time, I knew something was up there. Something was up there with Palpatine. And I love him for it. I'm a dark side of the Force kind of guy. I'll put my hands up there. And Attack of the Clones. Well, the second half of Attack of the Clones was alright, with the actual bit in the name. But other than that, it was Anakin and the worst chat-up lines in the world. And Padme still had a child with him. Two children. They still got married. Oh, but I'm a senator, and you're gonna be a Jedi Knight, and the Jedis can't love, and I can't love you, and whatever. And Anakin's like, I dreamt about you every day for the past 10 years, and I'm tortured by that kiss you should never have given me, and it's all crap. The whole bit of that plot is rubbish. Why was it written? Oh. Got a bit flustered over that. I mean, Anakin, Hayden Christensen. Woo! I won't talk too much about him, but what a guy. What a guy. Oh, he's still lovely. Still lovely today. I've gone too fanboyish in terms of Hayden Christensen. But yeah, Anakin Skywalker. And the always thing I love is the Episode 6 DVD, the newer DVDs, shoehorn in Hayden Christensen at the end where Luke can see all the ghosts. So he can see Obi-Wan Kenobi, he can see Yoda, and then he can see Anakin Skywalker, because of course, at the end of that, as Darth Vader's on his, not deathbed, because he's sort of lying on the ramp of a ship. But yeah, we see his face in that. But yeah, it's quite funny considering Luke's only known Darth Vader as Darth Vader, and then especially it's even more funny when you watch the newer DVDs, and Hayden Christensen's there. Hi, Luke. You don't know who I am. Dear, recommendation for you all is where you should watch How It Should Have Ended on YouTube, and also Honest Trailers, because they satirise the Star Wars saga so well. Anyway, that's the Star Wars chat. Soundtrack's great as well. Before I started this, I actually had a bit of a listen to a few stuff. I go for the problem is because I had it on in the background when I was revising back in those days. March seems like an utter eternity. So back in the days when I was revising, I used to put the Star Wars soundtracks on in the background. So I don't know the specific names. So the ones I like are they feel like the cliched ones, and this is the bit I kind of hate about music appreciation in general. It's not, I mean, in some cases it can be an elitist thing, but in other cases it can be just you're not accepted for those choices. It's your choice to listen to whatever you want to listen to. Pick your choices. Whatever, if people don't like that, then that's their problem. And this is the thing on this podcast. I mean, I was sat there because my good old chum Phoebe. Hello, Phoebe. Because when we were talking today, she messaged and said, "Are you gonna do talking about any new music?" And I said, maybe. Do you want some? And she said, yeah, the weekend especially. So we're going to go on to that in a minute. But back to the music in general, because I was thinking about it, it's just going to be like, it felt like just hits this week, and it could feel like that, picking like top 40 stuff and in the charts kind of stuff. But that shouldn't matter. The fact that I like it and just want to share my love of the music and my love of the artists is all that really matters, and all that should matter in any genre of music for anybody. Just an appreciation of it is quite good for. I think I've got an editing job to do there. I don't know where that last bit was going. I've just gone and taken a break anyway. Like, 2 minutes. I don't know where my train of thought was going there. I think I'm just getting lost in my own tangents. We were talking about Star Wars soundtrack and what I was listening to before I started recording. I had Duel of the Fates on. You know, nice bit of epicness. It's the epic ones, it's the famous ones. Duel of the Fates, Battle of the Heroes from Revenge of the Sith. And my personal favourite, The Imperial March from The Empire Strikes Back. What a tune. And the Cantina Band. That's an interesting one as well. Hey, he doesn't like you.
Okay.
He said he doesn't like you. When they're at the, oh, it's that bar on Tatooine? Yeah, Tatooine. Yes, Tatooine, because on Tatooine they all speak Huttese. After the great Jabba the Hutt. And then, of course, we've got Han Solo and his Millennium Falcon, and the rest is history, and Luke Skywalker, and yada yada, and I have no idea where I'm going anymore. So, let's move on to the other music, which was just to pick up on a few things. The Weeknd, which I mentioned a wee while ago, his new album, After Hours, came out last week, and a favourite of mine on that album is In Your Eyes, which has got a, I think it's synthesised, but it's a saxophone solo nonetheless, and saxophone solos are brilliant, and it's an 80s vibe from The Weeknd, and I love a saxophone solo. No, nothing beats a good old saxophone solo. I've said saxophone solo too much. These reviews, just a disclaimer. Now I've ended up doing one. Just jump straight in. I'm not a professional reviewer in terms of music-y stuff, as you clearly already know. But yeah, it's nice to just share some music choices, which is going to get better next week when I've established a structure and stuff. We've got the book to talk about in a minute. So yeah, and because I've been thinking of music and stuff this week. Because I did music at GCSE, but that means I haven't studied it for 2 years. I used to have to comment on exactly how the piece sounded like with all the technical terms and bells and whistles. That knowledge has slightly faded, but I can still share with you some choices. And the album Future Nostalgia, which Dua Lipa released on Friday, I think she brought it forward actually. But I listened to the whole album, and it's very upbeat, very poppy, all-round loveliness for this time. We need something to keep us happy and upbeat. My favourites, which I've put in the playlist on this one. The two singles, by the way, were Don't Start Now and Physical. Prefer Physical out of those two, but I haven't put those into the playlist because they're just being overplayed. Future Nostalgia, the title track, Cool, Break My Heart, which Radio 1 have been playing, and I think I popped in Pretty Please as well. But Dua Lipa really coming into her own now. She's established her style, and it is lovely. It is what we need. In general, in terms of new music, I was thinking today, I'm not really sure what's going to happen with new music. And after this is all done, we really need to, you know, buy proper records, go to proper gigs, and support the artists, because they're especially the independents, are gonna lose a lot of money from this, because the bulk of the money for them is coming from gigging. The big superstars should be fine on their resting on their millions. Because, I mean, people can upload stuff online, but it depends whether they've got their own studios or not. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, and I'm sure we'll figure that out over the next few weeks. Another choice that I just found today, I think it popped up in my recommended, or I just, you know, songs where you just hear the tune and it pops in your head, and then you go, I've got to listen to that in full. This group called Pendulum, did a remix of the news theme for the ABC News in Australia with the trumpet, and it's just brilliant. It's just it put a right smile on my face. I love it when songs do that. It's, I don't know if avant-garde is the word for it, but it's just the sort of out there, bit different songs that I always like finding out. And I don't really want to say novelty song, because I'm sure the Pendulum, the people of Pendulum, haven't really explored their other works, I'll be honest. But I'm sure this was a proper thing, but I think it came 11th in Triple J's Hottest 100 in 2010. I think I'm going to tune into Triple J a bit more. I went off it for a bit, but I think I'm going to tune it back in for a bit and do some more musical exploring. Still listening to Radio Free though, if you check my Twitter. As you'll know, they changed the news. I have no idea why that suddenly just propelled me into a sense of, I don't like it. Oh, what's going on? Ooh. I had a big wobble after this, and like afterwards you look back at it and go, what the heck was going on with you? Pull yourself together, man. But at the time, you just get through it and move on. That's what having a fruity brain does for you. So yeah, they're down to 3 bulletins a day because they've got a skeleton staff at Broadcasting House. So they're on at 8, 1 and 6. Which in the when you think about it, isn't that bad. You actually get less news overall. Which I'm still not following. I'm in a good mood. I don't really want to follow it. And it's just, to me, I don't need to know the information that much at the moment. It's just death tolls and case totals. And a hospital opening in the Excel Centre in London. That's about it. It doesn't really interest me too much. So yeah, they're still Radio Free. And they've got a wide mix of genres as well. But next week's podcast will probably, I'll do a proper music review stuff and whatnot. We've probably gone past 30 minutes now. We're on to the book talk now. I sorted out the bookshelves today, just to make things easier. So the bookshelf itself is split into two cabinets that are put on top of each other. It's not the best thing in the world. But I've put it into a paperback fiction shelf, a hardback shelf, which is full of both hardback fiction and non-fiction, and a paperback non-fiction section, with all the stuff I've either read or don't want to read for a good while shoved at the back. And because there's two piles, two layers. So the books I don't necessarily want to read at the moment are at the back, and the books that are more likely that I want to read are put at the front, and that's the same for both of them, apart from the hardbacks really, because I've arranged it into put all the cricket books together, and then put all the motorsport books together, and then the politics books together, and the two fiction there's actually 4 hardback fiction books, but I put the cricket fiction books with the cricket section, and there's Girl, Woman, Other, and The Mirror of the Light on there. And then the same with the paperback fiction. I've tried to arrange that so there's a whole a pile, because I don't want to arrange it in alphabetical order. I want to try and make it easier to find, and I'm quite pleased with how I've managed to do it and actually made some more space, because there are gaps on this shelf. There are gaps for new books to go and order, which I may be ordering a physical copy of Wolf Hall, because I tried with the e-book. I found out I don't really like reading on Kindle. I don't know what it is about it. It's also the whole idea of looking at a screen, and I don't really like looking at a screen all the time. And also, when the weather perks up a bit, I tried reading outside. You can't read it outside. Well, on mine, it's basically a tablet with the Kindle app. Also, I just prefer having a book that I can monitor the progress better. And also, you got to put a lot of concentration into Wolf Hall. I'm more than halfway through. I gave it a good shot. I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. It's a fabulous book. Fabulous period of history, great stories from it, but I'll probably get a physical copy. Also, because I've got Bring Up the Bodies, which is the second book in the middle, of The Mirror and the Light, which is the third book on the shelf, but no first book. So just to top up the collection, I might just get it, and then it's there physically as well for when it gets a bit warmer, and I'll go sit in the back garden and just read. But yeah, it's a lot of concentration as well, because a lot of facts presented, a lot of information to take in. It can be difficult to follow at times, but credit to Mantell. Her writing is superb. And it's so lovely to read. But over the weekend, I just didn't feel like putting in that much effort with a book that takes... Like, not commitment, but if you get what I mean, you've got to put in the time to get it done. And with those sorts of books, I've got to read more of it in a shorter space of time to just get it over and done with, otherwise I start to forget things. So yeah, that's the bookshelf story. I'm pleased there. I've actually got more gaps on it now. Also, when we get out of lockdown, I'm planning on going on a book haul as well, but I'm a bit hesitant to really order stuff online, and I know the deliveries are still going, but there's just a bit of me, you can call me stupid or silly for whatever it is, but I don't really feel like my book should be clogging up somebody's post bag. When it's not really an essential thing, but it's kind of essential for me. But I think I'll just order Wolf Hall anyway, and when the copy of it comes, it'll come here. That basically means I've bought the same book twice, but it doesn't matter. The first copy was £4, and it's always nice to have it on the shelf anyway. I was going to put it on the buy one a copy to put on the shelf anyway. And you could use it as a sort of a status symbol if you want to be that kind of person as well. So, yeah, I'm going to come back to that at a later date. But while I was sorting through it all, I figured, you know, I'd go for some short reads. And I picked up on this one because I'd like to try and get through a lot of these books on the bookshelf. As they are, the only expenditure that will really happen now that I would like to is Wolf Hall. I was looking at this book called Duck's New Report, which is a stream of consciousness novel written in a single sentence that goes for 1,000 pages. I'm intrigued by that, but I don't think I want it just yet. I'm not sure about it because I am trying to save money as well. But yeah, get through these books on the bookshelf. Wolf Hall is just to complete the set, and yeah, Duck's New Report, another one. I probably haven't done that book justice by not giving it a proper plot summary. This is rather a stream of consciousness podcast if you think about it. But anyway, in terms of books, I was planning at one point to just get a whole batch of Tubby. It can be abbreviated as TBRs. I usually abbreviate TBRs. It's to be read, your to be read pile, the stuff you want to read. I was thinking of doing like a whole set of that for April. I don't know if I'll get this particular book started tonight. Probably not. I'll probably start it in the morning. When I was going through it, my mind was changing all the time, and I think that could be a thing with other people as well, but it just changes all the time what I want to read, and in these times, There will be moments, like over the weekend I had with all four, when you're going, I want to read something different. And if I announced, or came out and announced on this podcast a full pile of books that I wanted to be read, I mean, the pile is there. Sort of the stuff that's been put on the, I would like to read this more than such and such, if you get what I mean. But if I came out on the podcast and on Twitter and whatnot and said this is my pile of books for 30 days of April, I feel obliged to then carry on with that. And knowing me, it just all fall through. And with all the stuff that goes on in my head, I just feel really guilty for it. So just go one at a time, go day by day. And I'm gonna start with a. It's a short book, this. It's only about 150 pages. It's called Ghost Wall by Sarah Moss. And it was published in 2018, I think. Let me just check. Yeah, it was published in 2018. This is a copy of. Not a first edition, but you know when it says first published on the first couple of pages. First published 2018, and I've got one of those first published books. It's a short book, as I said, 150 pages. Because I thought, go for a short read to just get back into it, because Wolf Hall's a long old boy. I think it's over 500 pages. Bring Up the Bodies is about 500 pages. The Mirror of the Light's 900 pages. It's a workout that was carrying it home from Sainsbury's. I got that just before the lockdown, because. As much as I'd love to, because as much as some people might criticise it, I do like looking at the book sections in supermarkets, but I can't really plop down to a supermarket and just buy a book. That's not right. We've got to be very mindful, and you're doing essential stuff. So I'll order Wolf Hall online probably, like I said, and I'll be talking more about that in the future. But anyway, this is a short read, 150 pages, Ghost Wall by Sarah Moss. I picked this up in the walking group I'm with, which has cancelled all its walks for the time being because of this outbreak. We go to Enville every 6 or 7 weeks, and the villagers organise a coffee morning as well to go alongside it, and there's a book a table with all sorts of books on it, and I got this one. I got Ghost Wolf from there. I got it for 50p. A few of the books on here I got from there for 50p. Pretty good bargains. Also charity shops. I always like going into charity shops. And a second-hand book haul as well. It's always very good for the environment. As much as we love a glossy first edition, and sometimes you can get second-hand copies that are reasonably well kept in good condition. It saves environmentally as well. And also there's that joy of handing it over to knowing that somebody else is gonna pick it up and enjoy it for themselves. Which is nice as well. So, Ghost Wall, I'll just read the inside front cover. It reads, Teenage Sylvie and her parents are living in a hut in Northumberland as an exercise in experimental archaeology. Her father is a difficult man, obsessed with imagining and enacting the harshness of Iron Age life, haunting Sylvie's narrative as the story of a bog girl, a young woman sacrificed by those closest to her. And the landscape both keeps and reveals the secrets of past violence and ritual as the summer builds to its harrowing climax. Kind of in the title as well, Ghost Wall. So, I looked at that, thought, A, it's a short read, and B, that looks quite interesting as well, because I'm wondering if it links to the bog bodies, which were found in Denmark by P.V. Glob. From the Iron Age, and I've studied that a little bit at school as part of sixth form, as part of context for the North Poetry Collection by Seamus Heaney. And a note on that really, It is a shame that the exams are cancelled, but I was doing my final essay of the English curriculum, and I was going, this stuff has fueled an interest, and it is interesting to read about the bog bodies, especially, and of course, the North poetry collection written by Seamus Heaney is about 1970s Northern Ireland as well, and he's talking about the Vikings as well. And ancestry and all that, so that's very interesting. So that's the book I'm going to be reading over the next. I might be able to get it done quite quickly, but I'll probably start that tomorrow. Ghost War by Sarah Moss, and I will be reviewing that. Might put something out on Twitter, and definitely on next week's podcast as well. For the time being, it will be a lot of reviews and stuff, and probably some comments on life as well. But we're drawing to the end of this episode, so a reminder, I am going to be publishing these every Wednesday now, getting to a regular schedule. Follow me on Twitter at Joshua_T_Kerr. My profile picture is a lovely drawing of the last year's Red Bull, the RB15. Driven by my favourite Formula One driver, Max Verstappen, Mad Max, the Lion from the Netherlands. I don't do pictures of myself. I don't like pictures of myself, so I don't have a profile picture, which is kind of worrying for the people who do now follow me on Twitter, because they only know me from the car and what I tweet out. But hey ho. All being well. Back on here next Wednesday. That'll be the publishing date for the time being. Have a good week, everybody. Take care, stay well, keep in touch with everybody, and see you next Wednesday. Bye bye.